Amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. Our text for tonight is the verse 43. One of the lesser knowns we find in the Bible. Verse 43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Everything that surrounded the crucifixion of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was purposely designed by his enemies to aggravate and to exaggerate his humiliation. The insults from the soldiers and the rabble and the rulers, the scourging, the buffeting, the spitting, the mocking by those that were gathered around him there at Calvary, the mock robe, the rod that they placed in his hand and then took it from him and beat him over the head with it again and again and again, the pulling off the hair from his face. What humiliation the Lord Jesus suffered and endured on our behalf. Now that the Savior had been crucified and given up the ghost, what was to be done now with his lifeless body? The Roman custom, mark this, the Roman custom was to let the bodies of the crucified hang on the cross and rot on the cross and be eaten by the birds of the air. That was the practice of Roman soldiers. But when this form of punishment was introduced among the Jews, they protested against it because it was not the law that they were used to, the law of God. You turn to Deuteronomy, chapter 21. There in the closing verses of chapter 21. Deuteronomy. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, well, that's what they said about the Savior. That's why they cried out, crucify him. And if a man committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and I hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. Mark that. Bury him that day. So the Lord Jesus was to be buried that day, the day that he died on the cross and he gave up the ghost. And bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God. You think of the Savior. He was accursed of God, not because of his sin, of course, but because all our sins were laid upon him, and he must suffer and endure the curse of a holy God. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. And so we see then that the Lord Jesus and his body must be taken down from the cross that same day. And because it was the eve of the Sabbath, the bodies must be taken down and quickly disposed of. It was probable that the body of the Lord Jesus would have been put in a common grave along with the two malefactors that were crucified with him. But providentially, that was prevented when into view came a man called Joseph of Arimathea. This man would take care of the body of the Savior and give it a decent and honorable burial. But what do we know about Joseph of Arimathea? Arimathea, a city of the Jews, we are told. What do we know about him? Certainly was one of the lesser knowns in the scripture, but he certainly deserves our attention. He is a man that we never hear about prior to what is written about him in the Gospels concerning the burial of Christ. We don't hear about him before, and we don't hear about anything about him after. He makes this brief and short appearance there that evening when he took down the body of Christ from the cross and put it in a sepulchre hewn out of a rock. So let us now see what we can learn about Joseph of Arimathea and the wonderful service that he rendered to the Lord. I want us to consider first of all the person. That is the person of Joseph of Arimathea and the burial of Christ. We are introduced to that person there in our text in verse 43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. There we have, regarding this person, we notice first of all his appearance. His appearance. His appearance upon the scene certainly was sudden. As I say, we don't hear anything about him or know anything about him until he makes this sudden appearance. Look there in verse 42. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, he just simply appears upon the scene. Over in Luke's Gospel, in Luke 23, and verse 50, we read, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. But look carefully there at that verse 50. There are two words that are in italics that emphasize the sudden appearance of Joseph of Arimathea. Those two words, there was. And so it may be read now, and behold, a man. That's the sudden appearance. Behold, a man. And that man, Joseph of Arimathea. So he makes this sudden appearance. And regarding his appearance, I want you to notice he was a chosen man. Joseph of Arimathea was chosen by the Lord to take care of the body of Christ and to place it in the sepulchre. We know that from Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27 verse 57. We read that Matthew tells us, when the evening was come, there was a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph. A rich man. Those three words are very important, because those words bring us back to the prophecy of Isaiah. In Isaiah 53, there is Isaiah speaking prophetically about Christ and about his coming into the world and about his crucifixion. And indeed about his burial. Because Isaiah 53 verse 9, and he, the Lord Jesus, made his grave with the wicked, that would have been the two malefactors, made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. We know that the wicked, as I said, refers to the thieves that were crucified with Christ. And the only rich man involved in the burial of the Lord Jesus was none other than Joseph of Arimathea. Matthew tells us there came a rich man. You think of it. There was Isaiah's prophecy 500 years before, and he said that in the burial of Christ a rich man would be involved. And that rich man was none other than Joseph of Arimathea. He was chosen by the Lord to be involved in caring for the body of Christ. He who was rich, the Lord Jesus, became poor. There were no other rich men involved in the burial of Christ but this rich man, Joseph of Arimathea. He was a chosen man. We could say he was a close by man. So Joseph was close by. He was close enough to see what was taking place, indeed what had taken place. He would have seen the Lord Jesus crucified, and he was close by. He was close enough to go and seek Pilate and take the body of the Lord Jesus. And since God had chosen Joseph to care for the body of the Savior, providentially, Joseph was right there in the place where he was used to take the body of Christ and place it in a sepulchre. He was close by. You think of it. This Joseph could have been in Arimathea. He could have been away in his hometown, but he wasn't. He was right there close by. And he was there to take the body of Christ. Minds us of the providence of God again. You think of the feeding of the 5,000. And the disciples thought they didn't have enough bread to feed the multitude. And then Andrew says, there is a lad here. Where was the lad? The lad was close by. The lad was close by, and he was close to the Lord. And we know how the Lord used that lad and the loaves and the fishes that he gave him. There's a lesson. We need to be close by the Lord for the Lord to use us. The lad was close by. Joseph of Arimathea was close by. And he was used providentially to take care of the body of Christ. As well as his appearance, we're told also about his allegiance. Matthew tells us that he was Jesus' disciple. Matthew 27, verse 57. But then John informs us something about the discipleship of Joseph. John tells us in John 19, verse 38, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. In other words, he was a secret disciple. He was a disciple of the Lord Jesus, but he didn't want anybody to know. He didn't want anyone to know he was a follower of Christ. The word secretly, he was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly. The word secretly there means to hide. And so here you have Joseph of Arimathea. He didn't want anybody to know that he belonged to the Lord Jesus. And he wanted to hide his allegiance to Christ. He wanted to hide his discipleship to the Lord. Oh, what an evil thing for any professing Christian to do. To hide their allegiance to Christ. Didn't Peter do the same thing? Exactly the same thing. Joseph of Arimathea was a secret disciple for fear of the Jews. And there was Peter when he was challenged three times. What did Peter say? I know not the man. He was afraid to be identified with the Lord Jesus. They were taking the Lord Jesus out to crucify him. And Peter didn't want any part of the Lord. He says, I know not the man. Imagine. He'd been with Christ for over 3 years as a disciple. And then he said, I know not the man. He wanted to hide his allegiance to Christ for fear of the Jews. What they might do to him. He saw what they were doing to the Savior. And Peter was afraid of what they might do to him. So he said, I know not the man. Remember what Solomon said? In Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. The cure for secret discipleship is not to have a fear of man, but to have a fear of God. That's the cure. And the Lord spoke about that. We go over to Matthew. In chapter 10. And there in Matthew 10, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men. Him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That's what Peter did. He denied the Lord. And here we have Joseph of Arimathea. And he hides his allegiance to Christ. You should remember the words of Paul. That Paul said about the Lord Jesus. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. The Lord Jesus isn't ashamed of us. Not ashamed to call us brethren. With all our failures and all our faults and all our sins. Why then should we be ashamed of Christ? We notice also not only his appearance and his allegiance but his attractiveness. His attractiveness. Now, hello, we have just considered Joseph and how he kept his discipleship, his allegiance to Christ, a secret. Yet there were some things about Joseph that were most attractive. Look there at verse 43, our text again. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, that's what the word counselor refers to. An honorable counselor which also waited for the kingdom of God. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor. That word honorable is a word that refers to a person's personal appearance, and the word there means handsome or comely. The word is used here in relation to this man's character. Not so much about his personal appearance, if he was a good looking man or not. But it refers to his character. He had a lovely character. He was a lovely individual. You've said that, haven't you, about someone? Oh, that person's a lovely individual. And you're not talking about their personal appearance. They're a lovely individual because they know the Lord. A Christian. That person is a lovely individual. And here, this is what was written about Joseph of Arimathea. He was honorable. He was a lovely individual. And Luke gives a fuller description of this man, Joseph. Turn to Luke, please, and Luke 23. It's always good to compare the Gospels and the Gospel record of one given incident. One will give a little more detail than the others. Luke 23. There we read in verse 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel of the deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. Now, if you look carefully at those two verses that tell us about the person of Joseph of Arimathea, you will notice something. Five things are said about him. Five. The number of grace. Isn't that interesting? Five things are said about this man as an individual, about his person. And so when you look at Joseph of Arimathea, you see the grace of God in his life. Grace made him an honorable counselor. Grace made him a good man. Grace made him a just man. Grace enabled him to stand for the Lord, even though he hid his discipleship. Yet, he did not consent to the counsel and deed of them. In other words, the Sanhedrin were all on for crucifying Christ, and Joseph of Arimathea did not add his voice to that cry. Grace enabled him to do that. And grace was working in his heart as he waited for the kingdom of God. Those words mean he was waiting for Messiah. The kingdom of God. And you see all that is written there about him, and it was all of grace. No wonder then he's described as a handsome man, as a lovely man. Because you look at a man who's so full of the grace of God, and you cannot do anything else but say, he's a lovely man. It's all grace. He's certainly a handsome man, speaking of him spiritually. As well as Joseph the person. We look at Joseph and his preparation for burial of the Lord. I said that my subject tonight would be, in the series, The Lesser Knowns, my subject tonight would be courage and the cross. Here is where you see the courage on the cross. Joseph now proceeds to make preparation for the burial of the Lord. There's a mention this morning when we're dealing with the woman who came to the sepulchre to anoint the Lord. Here again, how sad that not one of the disciples were there. Not one. In spite of all that they said they would do, not one of them appeared. And for the burial of the Savior, it was left to one man. He was joined by another later on. One man. God had brought Joseph of Arimathea, we could say, to the kingdom for such a time as this. And the first thing we notice is his courage. Here we read that he went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. My, that's a change, is it not? He went in boldly. Where was his boldness before? When he kept his discipleship, his allegiance to Christ, a secret for fear of the Jew. He was afraid of the Jew. But look now. He's not only owning Christ before the Jews, he's going into Pilate, the man who sentenced Christ to death. And we're told he went in boldly. Where did this boldness come from? Where did he get this courage from all of a sudden? What brought about the change from being a coward, a cowardly individual, afraid to own Christ publicly, to now being bold? What brought about the change? was the cross. Joseph of Arimathea, as we pointed out, was nearby. He saw all that was going on. He beheld the crucifixion of the Savior, and the view of the cross drew Joseph out of being a secret disciple. A view of the cross and seeing the Savior hanging there gave him a boldness and a courage that he had never had before. And so he went on to Pilate and sought the body of Christ. When he looked at Christ on the cross, he saw courage. He saw courage in Jesus Christ. Was anyone ever as courageous as the Lord Jesus? As it was seen that day in Calvary. For he climbed Golgotha's hill alone. He got up that hill alone to face the last enemy, there to engage himself in a conflict with the armies of hell. And he did it alone. Talk about courage. Does anyone need courage to stand for the Lord? Then look to the cross. Does anyone need courage to speak a word for the Lord? Then look to the cross. Does anyone need courage to own their Lord in the company of the ungodly? Then look to the cross. Does anyone need courage to stand alone for Christ, wherever you are, whoever your enemy is, and whatever your company? You need courage to be bold for the Lord? Look to the cross. That will give you the courage you need. Because you see, in the Lord Jesus Christ, one who was courageous. Paul said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That took courage. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, the throne of God in heaven. Look to the cross if you need courage. Look to the cross if you need to be bold for the Lord. That will give you the courage. As well as his courage, we notice his claim. That is, Joseph of Arimathea claimed the body of the dear Savior. You think of it. There was another man. There was another man wanting, yea, willing, to go to Pilate and claim the body of the Lord Jesus. He did it alone. No Peter, no James, no John, no Andrew. Joseph. Alone. Listen to this. Again, you look at the four reports of the four Gospels. This is what we have about Joseph of Arimathea claiming the body of Christ. Matthew tells us that Joseph went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. He begged He must have them. He begged the body of Jesus, Matthew 27, verse 15. Mark here, as we see, tells us that he went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus, verse 43. Luke tells us that Joseph went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, Luke 23, verse 52. And then John tells us, Joseph besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, that he might take away. Remember Mary Magdalene at the tomb, and she saw the Savior standing but didn't recognize him until he spoke. She thought he was the gardener. And he said, why weepest thou? She's been taken away, my Lord. And she said, she wanted to take him away. She would take him. She would take the body of Christ. And here is Joseph of Arimathea. And he wants to take away the body of the Savior. We see from these references that Joseph of Arimathea was truly in love with the Savior. Wanted to take him away. Then we're told in verse 45. In verse 45, and when he knew it, that is, when he knew that the Lord Jesus had given up the ghost and was dead, when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. He gave the body to Joseph. You know what those words mean? He made a present of the body of Christ and gave him to Joseph. He gave as you would give a present. And how Joseph of Arimathea took that body. It was all because of the cross that changed Joseph of Arimathea. This man who had been a disciple but secretly for fear of the Jews. Now he goes in boldly to Pilate. You can imagine, can you see him? Can you see him leaving Pilate's hall and making his way up Golgotha's hill and going to that center tree? And there, taking the nails out of the hands and his feet, wrapping his arms around the body, carrying it away to be placed in the tomb. And now he doesn't care who sees him. Now the words of Isaac Watts's hymn applied to Joseph. I'm not ashamed to O my Lord, nor to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. The glory of his cross. And so, wanting to take the body of the Savior, Joseph publicly and personally owned the Lord. His courage, his claim, and we see his care. Upon receiving permission to take the body of the Savior, we see how carefully he handled the body. Mark 15, verse 46. And he brought fine linen and took him down. It's only just a few words there in that verse. You can just sit and meditate upon it. Meditate upon Joseph of Arimathea going up that hill and taking down the body of the Savior and all that it entailed. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in linen and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone upon the door of the sepulchre. Oh, with what care he handled the body of Christ. He took it down and he wrapped it in fine linen. What a contrast as to how the Lord was treated by those as he made his way to the cross and as he hung upon the cross. They beat him. They battered that body. They blasphemed him. In contrast to those who smote him, who struck him, who spat upon him. Here Joseph takes loving care of the body of Christ. We're told that he brought fine linen. Matthew tells us, 27 verse 59, he wrapped the body in clean linen cloth. Then Matthew goes on to tell us that Joseph laid the body of Christ in his own tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. Matthew 27 verse 60. Think of it. Going in to see Pilate, begging, craving the body of Christ, then going to the cross, taking down the body, wrapping it in fine linen that he had just bought for the purpose, and then taking that body and laying it in a sepulchre, in his own sepulchre. You think of it, no expense was spared. Joseph of Arimathea gave to the Lord that day his very best. He gave him his best. New, fine, clean linen and his own sepulchre. And whatever expense that was incurred, Joseph knew it was worth it. It was worth it all. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 24, we think of the words of David. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. I'm not going to do anything for the Lord or to the Lord that doesn't cost me something. I'll not offer to him that which cost me nothing. When we love the Lord, then no expense is too great for us to give to him. So we have Joseph, the person, Joseph and his preparation. That brings us now to Joseph and his partner. John told us that about a man who came to Jesus by night to seek the way to heaven, the way of salvation. Now John mentions that man again, the same man, there in John's Gospel, in the chapter 19, and we read in the verse 39, and there came also Nicodemus, the man who came to Jesus by night. He didn't want anybody to see him. Came to Jesus by night, but now there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes about 100 pound weight. There's his partner. Nicodemus arrives upon the scene. Still no sign of a disciple. and Nicodemus arise upon the scene. And there we see, first of all, their deeds. They both labored together to care for the body of the Lord Jesus. And we are told what Nicodemus brought. He brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. 100 pounds. To anoint the body of the Lord. Wasn't to embalm him, to point that out. To anoint the body of Christ. Remember Mary? John 12, sister of Lazarus. Mary came and anointed the Lord. And what did she bring? She brought 1 pound weight of ointment. So Nicodemus, 100 pound. Mary, 1 pound. In other words, as the Lord said, whenever the disciples cried out against her and criticized, the Lord said, leave her alone. Let her alone. And then he said, she had done what she could. And that's all the Lord expects, is for us to do what we can. And Mary did what she could. Nicodemus did what he could. And he could bring 100 pound. Mary could bring 1 pound. They both did what they could. Oh, believer, let us always seek to do what we can. Not to hold back. And do as little as we can. Let us do what we can. Always, always do what we can for the Lord. That's what Nicodemus did. That's what Joseph did. He did what he could. He did what he could. Their deeds. And then his departure. We read there in verse 46. In the verse 46. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid it in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone onto the door of the sepulchre. That's all it said. But Matthew adds something. Matthew 27 and verse 60. And laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. That's it. And we never hear of him again. He just departed. No big fanfare. No applause. He did what he could and departed. And we never hear of him again. But isn't it nice to look upon a man like Joseph of Arimathea and all that he did and then departed? Mission accomplished. Job done. And he did it all for Jesus. I'll do it all for Jesus. I'll do it all for Jesus because he did so much for me. And he who had been a secret disciple suddenly found a boldness and a courage that he never had before when he saw the cross and the Savior hanging there and saw there the courage of Christ and Joseph of Arimathea. Had the courage to seek the body of the Lord and take it down and wrap it and anoint it and bury it, and depart. Nice way to depart, isn't it? In the service of God. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord, we thank Thee for the lives, the testimonies, the memory of men like Joseph of Arimathea. So little said about him, and yet much is said about him. And what he did and what he accomplished. He did what he could. He did what he could and departed. Lord, as we go through this life, may each one of us who love the Lord, may we do what we can for the Savior. May we not be half-hearted, but full-hearted. All out and out for God. Lord, bless the word to our hearts tonight. May we think about it, meditate upon it, what Joseph did, and how he gained that courage from seeing the courage of Christ as he hung on the cross. Lord, I pray Thou would be with us and bless us throughout this week. Again, Lord, keep each one of us and our family circles healthy and well and safe. Keep Thy hand upon us, Lord, until we meet once again to worship Thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now. And until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.